So when I signed up for this quarter, when David put the list out, and I had a couple years ago, I think, and said, you know, needed volunteers to teach for quarters. Well, I was anxious to put my name down, but I had no idea what I wanted to teach about. My boss told me the other day, a month or two ago, she said, I know you're a man of faith, so would you pray for so-and-so? And that, I'd been thinking about faith anyway, but that got me to thinking, what is it that she thinks of me when she says, I'm a man of faith? What is it that about me or my example, or what is different in me and the rest of the people in our group that would have her say, I know you're a man of faith? And the kids will tell you, I do tend to tell war stories a little bit, so I'm going to tell a little war story. It's not really a war story. I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up going to the Baptist church when I got around to it. When I met Linda and I first started going to church with her, I didn't really need to know about God. I didn't need to know about Jesus being the Son of God. For some reason, Glenn preached about authority. I don't know if I just happened to come in the middle of it, but that's what I needed. I needed to know about authority. But it was a number of years before, and making that connection with what I already felt in my heart about God, encouraged me to be baptized. We hear, believe, confess. We very rarely talk about faith when we're talking about converting somebody. And I know that there's a lot of people here that grew up in the church. A lot of those people have had lessons on faith since they were small. But I didn't. And it took me a few years to really understand what it meant by being a man of faith. If you go to the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the whoever church, and I'm speaking from experience, faith is an abstract word. I have faith. So, you know, what does that mean? It's a feel-good feeling. It's man, he's full of faith. What does that mean? So this quarter, I would like to delve into faith from, and I don't want to bore those of you that have been here in the church forever, but I would like to delve into that from the very bottom and really investigate and talk about faith and what it means to us. Not only what it means to us, but what it does to us. Because I'm going to say this now, and we're going to say it again many times. Faith is not an abstract concept. Faith is an action. And I, as I've studied this, as I've grown the past 30 years. I realized the other day at my birthday, I turned 66. I've been a Christian now half my life. And by the way, I appreciate the cards of encouragement and condolences that I got, Bert. but it took me a long time to actually understand what it meant by having faith. I'd like to start out. Do not open your Bible, but I'd like just from the audience, and Cody's going to capture these for me. What does faith mean to you? One word, synonyms. Just when you think of faith, what does faith mean? So I'll throw one out that I always thought that faith was simply that you believed. So belief Anybody else? Mark?
Confidence.
Anybody else? Teresa?
Acceptance.
Trust. I saw another hand back here. Obedience. Trust. Had a conviction. Anybody else?
Submission.
Anybody else? Did you get it? Hannah?
Action.
Believing. Hope. Loyalty. Anybody else? That did I miss one? Okay. So there are none here on my, I've got perseverance is the only other thing I've got on my list that and y'all caught everything that I had and then some. So these are all, thank you, Cody. That's, you did well. These are all, when you just think of the words themselves, they're kind of abstract. And that's kind of our definition. That's kind of the world's definition. You know, I'm a man of faith. I have belief. I believe in God. I trust in God. I don't think that, and if there's any here that are visiting from the Baptist church, I apologize, but I don't believe the Baptists, at least from my experience, have much to do with obedience and faith being the same thing. That's where that authority comes in. Certainty, action, loyalty, perseverance. A lot of the world's view of what faith is are just those abstract words. If you would now, you can get your Bibles back out and turn to Hebrews 11. So God does give us a definition of faith. I don't have a clicker, Donna. Okay, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I'd like to spend a big part of the class just looking at this verse. I'd like to break it down into some of the words using Webster's dictionary and see if we can really get to the bottom of what this verse is really saying. Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Webster says substance is the essential nature, the essence. It's what it's made of. It's a fundamental or characteristic part or quality. An ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations and change. Okay? Essential nature, I think, is the one that off of here. It's faith, faith is the substance. It's what makes up the things that we hope for. And what is it that we hope for? Hope of heaven, absolutely. It's as simple as that. We hope that that we have evidence. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But we hope that if we follow through on the things that the Bible says, that we love God, that if we obey Him, that we're going to go to heaven. All right, evidence. An outward sign, an indication. Something that furnishes proof, a testimony. Something legally submitted to a tribunal to ascertain the truth of a matter. One who bears witness. I think it's very notable here that in God's definition of faith, He includes this statement on evidence. An outward sign, an indication. There's something there that He's given us that we can see, that we can pin our hopes on. But the one that I want to focus here is one who bears witness. What is God's evidence to the world? Yes, God made the world. Yes, God controls the world. Wyatt, you got your hand half up? His word, okay? But what else is His evidence? Okay, I've heard one of the last FNEs that there was the debate, and the guy was debating whether the Bible was true or not. What is the evidence that the world, what is the light that the world sees? The resurrection? Okay, I agree that that's evidence. But I didn't see that, Ed. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you what I do see. I see each and every one of you. I see the way that you love one another. I see the way that we help each other. I see the way that we're obedient to God. I see the way that we stand up for each other. We support each other. We do the things that God wants us to do. That's the evidence that I see. And that's what I think, that's how I'm applying this definition. We have one that bears witness. We're the ones that bear witness. We're the salt. We're the light.
To your point, Hebrews 12, the first verse, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," that's right after this chapter about faith. And I don't think that the context stops at chapter 11. So that's part of that evidence, is the yes. Cloud of witnesses that we have.
Yes. You're a couple of pages ahead of me, but yes, I agree. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yes, sir.
This is the huge difference between God and man, you know. Man believes that seeing is believing, but God will try to teach you that believing is seeing. So I know that's a play on words. It sounds like a play on words, but it's not. And this is where the evidence can really come in for those that see after they believe. You know what I mean? So this is what God's trying to tell everybody. And, you know, if you go back even four verses in the last chapter, is better explanation. But, you know, in other words, for example, most of us in this room believe that George Washington existed. Okay, but none of us have ever seen him. Most of us in this room believe that Antarctica exists, but none of us have ever been there. You spend most of your life believing things you've never seen. But man will tell you, you have to see it to believe it, which is false. You don't have to see it to believe it. Most of the things we believe, we have not seen. And that's what God is trying to teach us, is look into your soul and tell me I don't exist.
And I think that's the essence of what he's saying here about faith. We haven't seen it. It's the substance. It's the understanding, the evidence of things unseen.
So it reaches out and attaches itself to the throne of God and will lead you straight there if you just let the hope work.
Back to end point, the resurrection. I didn't see it, but I have faith that Jesus Christ was crucified and rose on the third day. I believe that in my heart. I believe that the Bible is God's word, and that evidence is all I need to convince me that the resurrection is true.
This past Friday, we talked about how just because we want something to be true doesn't make it true, right? And so I think sometimes people see the word faith and they think, oh, it's just this feeling, it's just this like magical idea. But no, we're told to examine the evidence, and we're told to be convicted by the evidence, and not just because we want it to be true, so we try to, move the evidence around, because oftentimes, you may accuse other people of doing that in different aspects of life, but we're just as susceptible to that. And so I want it to be true. I want God. I want to have that hope. I examine the evidence and I've come to the conclusion that this seems to be the case.
Okay. That evidence that God's talking about here, what's notable and going along with what you say is God mentions this. He mentions evidence in his definition. That tells me that faith is real. Faith is more than an abstract term, an abstract concept. It also, one who bears witness, and that, now of course this came from Webster, but trying to put this definition into words that a simple person like myself can understand, that suggests a personal application to me. So faith is a personal application. It's not just an abstract bubble out there that we ride around in. All right, let's move on to understanding. Understanding, to grasp the meaning of, to grasp the reasonableness of, to have a thorough or technical acquaintance with or expertise in the practice of, to be thoroughly familiar with the character and propensities of. I'm gonna use Caleb for an example. The electric car that they had out here a week or so ago. Caleb he understands the technical. He is an expert on the design and construction of that vehicle. He is thoroughly familiar with the character and propensities of that. Do we understand the scriptures? Do we understand faith and what God expects of us the way Caleb understands that electric car? And if you don't think Caleb understands that, y'all catch him after class and talk to him. I know he likes talking about it. All right? How many of y'all remember COVID? Yes, everybody. How many of y'all still carry around a little bottle of sanitizer? Okay. Now, is that just another government hoax? A little bit of a conspiracy theorist here. Or was that some ploy so that the Chinese could make a lot of money off of us? Because it was all made in China. When you wipe your hands with it, what is it you expect? Why do you do that? Okay? Is it reasonable to wipe your hands with that sanitizer? I didn't then, but I'm country, so. Do you have a technical acquaintance with that, okay? It's just glycerin and alcohol. Do you understand what that's supposed to be doing to your hands? Anybody can throw up and say, I'm putting it on there to kill the germs anytime y'all want to. I'm trying to lead you that way. But do you know that you're killing germs by rubbing this slimy alcohol stuff on your hands? Do you know for a fact that you're killing germs? Do you know for a fact you've got germs on your hand to start with? Now, Scotty will argue with me about that, I'm sure, but you put that on there because you have faith that it's going to kill the germs on your hand. You have an understanding of what that's supposed to do. Teresa?
You have to have faith that there are germs in existence.
Yes. Sorry, I got ahead of you there. Okay, so that is a worldly understanding. That's what it means to understand kind of on a worldly level. And we've kind of broken this down. But how does that relate to God? How does that relate to the spiritual part of faith? Oh, I'm sorry. To accept as fact or truth or regard as plausible without utter certainty. That's... Are we absolutely certain that we killed the germs? All right. So what is spiritual understanding? I believe, and this is going to sound like some big words, but that's because I copied it out of Jake's book. But spiritual understanding means that we are familiar with, let's back up one, we're familiar with, we have knowledge of the priorities of God. We have thought deeply about how God works, what He wants, what He loves, and how He has been active in our own lives. We have immersed ourselves in His scriptures so that we grasp the deeper and subtler truths in them. We become prepared for the solid food of the more challenging parts of the Bible. Okay? We're familiar with and have knowledge of the priorities of God. How are we going to understand that? Okay? We hear, we believe, we confess, repent, baptize, and we continue on. What part of that? Anytime we get a sermon on that, where does faith come in on that part?
I mean, as you go, you understand more, and you kind of start looking to, okay, what's the next step? Well, I have this part, but again, because it says that, I understand I need to do that.
I believe you're right on, JR. To me, where the faith comes in, okay, I've heard all of this, I believe it, I went home and told my dad, he told me you're stupid. My father-in-law's not this one, but, you know, another friend says, oh, there's no such thing in God as God. All of this stuff just popped up. You're wasting your time going to church on Sunday. That's where faith comes into me. It's in that continuing. It's in that, okay, I'm convinced. I believe that God created the world. I believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. I believe He died for us. I believe He rose on the third day, and I want to follow Him. I believe He has a better way of life for me to live. We've deeply thought about what He wants. We acknowledge how God has been active in our own lives. So do you ever think about that? You know, and Adam goes, I told Adam the other day, you know, that's not for me. But I'll support you any way I can. That's just too far out of my comfort zone, at least for now. Those people can tell you, and I haven't been there, but I guarantee you they can tell you how God's been active in their life, what God has done to make their life better. Can you do that? I mean, we live in a country here that's, we have everything. Not going to get into war stories, but I was telling Linda, we were talking about this lesson. I can go back to even when I was a child and the stupid decisions I made, the dumb decisions I made, the sins that I committed, but everything that I can, every step that I took, going through the service, going to school, I can look back and see where God had a hand in that. So I have faith that He has a plan for me. I know that some of the decisions that I made, I know getting into Texas A&M after going to La Vega High School and Bill Meade and being the class clown, I know y'all can't believe that, was the work of, was the hand of God. Because I didn't deserve that. I worked hard to get in, but, and we won't even talk about getting through A&M. I admire engineers that come through A&M with the way Caleb has. I just got through, you know. Amen. But I see where that decision and God's hand in it has shaped my life, and it's not just about praying in the hard times. Faith is something that we have all the time, and it's active. We need to pray for God just to guide us, just to put us in favor with the right people, to protect us from the evil things that are out there. Caleb, you're fixing to get in a whole different world when you go to work now. And I'm sorry to be using you for such an example, but I'm proud of you, okay? I didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm proud of you. When you get out in the world, it's not the same. People are not honest. People are not loving. They don't have the common, everybody's good, the common interest at heart. And you're going to have to rely on God. You're going to have to rely on Him to keep you safe and to guide you. Enough war stories. I'll get back on task here. All right.
One of the greatest evidences is your self-awareness. Your awareness that you are existing in this room. You know, how many animals can do that? None. None can do that. These are some of the greatest evidences that God has given us. But it also leads to questions that we shouldn't be asking, you know, where some people will go, oh yeah, you know, we're so smart, you know, so there can't be a creator or whatever. It's completely the opposite, you know, and all you have to do is let you know, common sense dictate all of these things, you know, and the reason you're self-aware is so you can find God, so you can look for God. So as he would say, believing is seeing.
So I should have got you involved in this lesson earlier because you're my perfect straight guy. You lead me right into my next point. Seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. When we don't know God, when we don't have faith, everything that happens to us is, if it's good, I did it. If it's bad, well, it's somebody else's fault. But as our faith grows, we know and we understand how God has been active. Because we've immersed ourselves in His scriptures so that we can find the deeper and subtler truths in them. There's a lot of people out there that will say, I believe in God. I believe Jesus is His Son. That's pretty much the baseline. You know, that's pretty simple. They call themselves Christians. But do they understand? Have they built their faith and to the point where they understand what God wants, what God actually is telling us in His Scriptures. It is a great story. Jesus came to earth. He traveled around. He performed some miracles. He got people to believe. Jews got mad at Him about it, got jealous, killed Him. And He defeated sin by rising in 3 days. But that's not all there is to it. That's what we believe. That's the baseline. But there's so much more that God wants us to know. And in saying that, I believe that our spiritual understanding then translates to practical things. Okay? We're getting out of the abstract here. The practical things are, we're able to discern good from evil. Do you know how many folks out there today in the world just don't see what's wrong with homosexuality? They don't see what's wrong with adultery. They don't see what's wrong with drug abuse. They don't see what's wrong with alcoholism. They don't see what's wrong with murder. The guy deserved it. The guy came and told me, I'm sitting in the wrong place. You need to move in there with your team. I'll get up with a knife and kill him. And it's all over the press. There's nothing wrong with that. I was in my right. I was protecting myself. I think y'all all know the news story I'm talking about there. But as a society, we are losing the ability to discern good from evil. And those things are apparent. What about when it's not apparent? If we have immersed ourselves in the Scriptures, we know the difference. We learn how to build others up, to put others first, and to treat them as we would have them treat us. I guarantee you the world's lost this. And I'll give you one example. If you don't believe me about that, then you just drive down Highway 6 during 4 to 5 o'clock in the evening. There's people that cut you off, give you friendly hand gestures, speed through there, and when you get down to the other end, they're still only a car length ahead of you. But it's all about them. Today's society, that's the thing about, I think, what Adam sees, and I think that's, I'm not speaking for Adam, but if I were doing that, I think that's what I would get out of that, is that the people there are not in it for themselves. This society is, and how this affects Christians then is just right back to the things I talked about from good and evil. The homosexuals, the transgenders, it's all about them. It's not about God and what God wants. Get off my soapbox. All right? So as we do those things, as we become able to discern good from evil, as we learn how to build others up, to put others first, that's what Christ wants for us when He says to love your neighbor, to love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is your faith maturing. When I was first baptized, a lot of this stuff, some of it was kind of natural in my nature, but a lot of this stuff missed me. A lot of this stuff went over my head. As we mature, as we do this, our faith grows deeper, and we become more and more evidence of God's love. Y'all go ahead. Get a light.
When you look at those things, it's not in 1 Corinthians
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. When we're walking by sight, we will not put others first, because it doesn't, what we see, what's right in front of us, doesn't make sense. We ought to seek our own, what's in our best interest. And what was the first point you had there? Discerning right and wrong. We're not going to pursue some higher goal. We're going to see, what do I want? I'm going to go get it. And faith tells us good is better no matter what it looks like right now. And putting others first will actually be in our best interest in the long run and theirs, and there's blessings enough to go around. But sight doesn't tell us that.
That's right. That's a very good point, JD. Thank you. And so I'll get back on my soapbox. JD, thank you. Having living by sight, what does that cause? If we're not living by faith, if we're not living by God's word, if we're just living by what is it I want, what results in the world? Racism, hate, war, all of the things that are troubling us. I saw a hand. Ed?
I thought you were asking, but I was just thinking that what you see is just what's in this world. You don't see heaven. And I think what he's saying that by faith we understand, basically I think that verse 3 is saying when you look around and you see that there's more than just what's here on earth. There's a God, and like you said, has authority, and there's heaven. There's more to it than just what we see in front of us.
That's exactly right. Okay.
I don't know how much this specifically applies to the point we're talking about now, but just faith in general. I remember a few years back, Mr. Ara taught a class in the high school class. I was a college kid, but I was allowed in. And it was the whole basis of a love of truth. And I think that's a huge basis for faith is just do we have this love of truth? And then, you know, the Lord gave us this, our critical thinking skills, and we're expected to use them to have better spiritual understanding. And so are we genuinely, you know, we see so many people in the world and we're quick to, you know, blame them. Oh, they're not, you know, they're not actually looking for the truth. But sometimes we get in our little box and it's, you know, we don't want the truth. We want what we're comfortable with. And yeah. So I just think that's a huge factor of faith is using our critical thinking and having that true, genuine love of the truth.
To your point, true faith, following God, doesn't mean skewing the scripture to fit what we believe. We need to be searching the scriptures, seeing if the things that we're being taught are true. And I forgot that part. If there's anything that y'all have a question about, where I got this from, what my thoughts were, I believe I can back it up from the scriptures. If there's anything in here you don't agree with me about, please come to me later and get me corrected, because I do not want to be in error and I don't want to teach error.
One example of the world not knowing sin that you're talking about a moment ago is the attitude of a whole lot of people towards the man who shot and killed a health executive, shot him in the back, and now they're saying they're making him a hero. Some of them are making him a hero and saying to do away with the murder, with the death penalty for murder, things like that.
Yeah, that goes right along with the guy that knifed the kid for asking him to move. So I saw another hand back here. Keith?
John 3:16 is a passage that the whole world seems to be fond of, and I find it slightly ironic, but for God so loved the world that, and they look at the that and over, but it's that first phrase, goes along with what Lauren Delk said and several in here. For God so loved the world. And once I started looking at that and seeing the cross and seeing the ultimate they did, then I could start looking at the whole. And I could see from the beginning to the thief on the cross, the love that God has displayed to man and how much effort God's love went. And that causes me to love more. We talk about blind love. That's us before we start developing our faith. It's not some little romantic fantasy. It is actually how we are with God until we choose not to be blind. And that, when we talk about John 3:16 through 18, it talks about that God sent his son not to judge the world, but that they may be judged by their actions towards him. And he talks about that unity. It talks about an effort. It talks about us actually doing something.
But let me take it a little further, Keith. Everybody knows that verse. The Baptists know that verse. The Methodists know that verse. There's people that haven't even been to church that can recite that verse. But that's all they can do. They haven't built their faith. They don't know what that means. So
about faith and sight. I never thought of that way as, you know, it's what you're seeing in front of you. I think the existence of things like love and hope and all these things that we can't see, but we know that they're real, that just ties into faith and things spiritual. It's just a different kind of thing than like this physical, like science maybe, that you can see. It's, we're just looking at a different kind of evidence and just a different aspect of the world, because love is still a part of the world, but it's just a little bit different than these physical things we can see and touch. So I don't know, that really.
So y'all think about that. Whenever you're, and us old people, and I'm not gonna put me there yet, but I'm getting there. And us young people, and us people in the middle, people having kids, when you need help and your brethren come and help you, whether it's sending a card to encourage you, bring you meals, come and sit with you, come run errands from you, mow your yard, that is evidence, in my mind, that is evidence of God's love. Because we're helping each other out. We're building others up. We're putting others first. All right, we're going to have to stop right here. But I'm going to tell you, I will not. Ed will take the class next week, and he can go out on his own, or he can straighten out what I got wrong this morning. But where we're going to start next week is taking all of this. You know, having faith sounds easy. You just read the Bible and do what it says. But there's not really just a recipe for doing that. And taking these abstract ideas and accepting them as concrete, accepting them as truth, some people have a hard time with that. So I want to kind of look at that week after next. Thank y'all for your attention.